Okay, guys. So we know that we're on a series of trying to understand metaphysical principles without our cultural biases and predispositions, right? So we worked on kindness last week. Did anybody get value out of that? Did you find yourself catching yourself and saying, oh, yes, I got caught as well? I was reminded by Patrick what the minister had said that morning. So it's a journey of really beginning to live what we believe and what we're teaching. So love is one of the most interesting topics because it is what we are. God is love. We live in a sea of love. And yet, why do we search for love? Why is it always an elusive thing that we're looking to find? You know, I had this vision of myself when I was trying to hear the preparation for this and preparing for it. I saw myself with all my notes just throwing them up in the air and going, okay, I have no idea what love is. You know, because we really don't have the capacity in our finite perceptions to grasp the infinite. And that is God. God is all things, and God is love. And we are love. So why? Why is it so hard? What separates us in our awareness of love? Why do we feel like we have to find love? You know, when you're young and mating comes upon you, you're looking for love. You're looking for that one person that will accept you and love you and take care of you, and you'll take care of them. Do you know what I'm saying? And then when you find them, there they are. And then they're still there. And it will wane and it will grow, but it's a journey. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not what your body, spirit thought it was going to be. It becomes a journey of experiences, right? And then love grows. But trying to learn who we are in Jesus Teacher Healer, which is, y'all know, one of my favorite books, he says this, page 102. You are breathed forth from the Creator. The divine seed was planted in your soul. And it is expected that you will, in the course of life's experiences in many incarnations, develop and unfold the rose of the Christ life. This can only be done by love, by the soul learning to love God and all God's creation. But this lesson, dear brethren, must be learned while the soul is in manifest through physical matter. So we have to learn it here. We have to learn it on this plane of existence where there is an apparent separation from love. And when I say this, I know you. I know humanity. There are moments when every single one of us feels so lonely and so unloved. Do you not?
Yes.
Out of the blue. And you may still have family around you, you may still have energy around you, but you will feel it to the depths of your soul. And that's when your soul is longing, desperately longing to reconnect with Father, Mother, God, to reconnect with Creator, to reconnect with the divinity that you are. You are seeking that in those moments. It's not that love has left you, it's not that you've left the sea of love all around you, but your awareness of this Creator that created us as his children. You're aware of that connection being desired so deeply within you. Do you understand? Most of us think that we're aware that we're lonely and we don't have anybody by our side. But the reality is, it's the divinity you're seeking. It's that oneness with God. Because you can have that one right by your side and still be just as lonely. You with me? Now you know why I was going to throw them up in the air. Okay. I wanted to share this, and you know, I can get pretty deep on the earth plane. We're trying to understand, we've got the laws of cause and effect, and could we really learn how to create if we were still tucked in the love and the oneness of God? Because everything is there, right? God is all we need. Would we really have desires? Would we really have that sense of being able to create something? No, that's why we come here. We come to this dimension where we can have that seeming sense that, oh, I get to create here. I get to be the child of God. I get to create my reality and have my experiences. And that comes with this feeling that you're separated and the feeling that you're one with simultaneously. You with me? Okay. So I want to move and make it simple. This is from the Aquarian Gospel, and this is chapter 109, and I'm talking to our human minds now. You ready? All right. The judgment day, when all the books are opened up and everyone sees what they've done, they will not be judged by what they've said or done, but by the ways in which they use the thoughts of God and how they made the ethers of eternal love serve them. Did they serve them for self? Did they serve them with a generous heart? What we say and do does create our manifestations, what we're creating. But and who judges us? We do. We judge ourselves. We go, oh, goodness, did I do that? We see what we have done with our energy and how we have used the ethers of God's love to serve us. That I wanted to share because that reminds us that we're in the energy of God's love. We can literally have anything we want. We mold the energy around us by our desires and our ability to receive. We are in the sea of God love. How are we going to use that? Okay. The other aspect of human love that Jesus talked about, people were saying, your family's here, go talk to your family. And he said, wait, let me tell you. Men recognize mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers here in flesh. But when the veil is torn and men walk in realms of soul, the tender lines of love that bind the groups will fade away. Not that the love for anyone will be less, but men will see in all the motherhood, the fatherhood, the sisterhood, the brotherhood. The family groups of earth will all be lost in universal love and divine fellowship for all. So at the higher realm, we're still connected in the connections we have now, but we will begin to see that we are connected with all. We are one with the great family of God. We are all children of God at those higher levels. Here we don't see it, do we? Here we need our families, don't we? Because we have agreements with our families. We have agreements that we've made that you will walk with me, you will help me, I will help you, you will walk with me. The only one legally bound to answer my phone calls. David, everybody else has a choice. But my son has to. Because that's our agreement to walk. Do you see? So we love our family connections. We love this. But we need to also remember, if we're going to understand love at the greatest level, we need to understand that we are all family. You may not walk with me in my day-to-day, but you are all family, you see? And at the highest level, when we get to that highest level, we'll realize that. We don't live there, do we? No. Jesus said to love one another, but we are still in our human form. When you're feeling love, you know it, don't you? When you feel that love of God pouring through you, when you feel the love of being in love, when you feel the love of child, when you're feeling it, you know it. You know it. Say, I know it. I feel it. But most of the time, you don't feel it. Do you know that? Most of the time when we say, oh, I love you, I love you, what we're really saying is, I'm trying to love you. I'm trying to remember that I love you. I'm trying to feel that I love you, but I really right now don't feel it because I'm busy thinking. I'm busy living my life, doing what I need to do, and my energy's focused elsewhere. But yeah, I love you. See what I'm saying? It's not throwaway necessarily, but is he feeling my love? No. And sometimes in our younger years together, I would say to Patrick, because it's been 34 years, I would say to Patrick, or 33, do you love me? Yes, I love you. And I would say, I am not feeling it. And I would say, sit down. And we would sit on the couch. And I would say, now put your arm around me. And you're going to hold me till I feel your love. And he would. And he would sit down. And he'd put his arm around me. And he would send waves of love to me. It's like, okay, I'm getting it. I'm getting it. Thank you. Because I needed that. I needed to feel the love. And it would start with him maybe a little aggravated. Maybe. But it would, when you started doing it, it was measurable. It was what my soul needed. Do you see what I'm saying? And that's what we need to be looking for. Pausing, and not only pausing to receive, but when you're looking at someone and saying, I love you, pausing to say, I love you, and let them feel that love go to them. Let them feel that from your heart, you know, even if it's just for a second. Do you hear what I'm saying? Well, we're on this earth plane, since we have this concept of separation, it's up to us to begin to bridge it, to bridge it. And we start with the people that we've made agreements with, that we're legally bound to. We start with family. We start with friends. We start with those that are walking with us. And we take a moment to connect. And that connection makes you feel better. When you send that love, that makes you feel better and them. Okay, you guys got it? All right, when we get caught in our own fears and our own concerns and our own agendas, it's very difficult to share love because we're in our brains. So that's why grandparent love is the best. Most people will say, my grandparents loved me completely. They totally accepted me and loved me completely. And it is true. By the time you are, for most grandparents, if we're a little bit senior, a little seasoned, by the time the babies come, we know that we were wrong about life. There's not a doubt in our minds we were wrong. We thought, buck up. We thought, get smart. We thought, you have to achieve. We thought, go protect yourself. We thought, you come on, do good out there. Give your gift. We thought taking our children and jostling them to perform was in their best interest. But as grandparents, you know what we realize? It doesn't matter. We finally realized that everything that we did, we were the project. We didn't have to save the world. We had to save us. We were the project. Everything we did is about us. And so we can hold those babies and we can say, hey, baby, it's all about you. And it's the truth. It's all about you. Let me help you be you. Let me help. Mom wants you to perform. That's great. She's your mom. But grandma wants you to be you. Do you see the difference? And when you have that seasoned wisdom of being able to look at the journey and to know, love flows freely to all of the young people who are struggling because they don't know yet. Your love flows freely. You see? So, believe it or not, you are not here to save the world. You are here to be you, to express you. You are your own project. So I wanted to share something that Jesus said in the Aquarian. This is his last week on earth. It's Wednesday. He's working with his disciples. Wednesday. He will be crucified Friday morning. So Thursday, he is arrested Thursday night. He's crucified Friday morning. Wednesday, he is spending the day with them, and they meditate, and he takes them to the silence. And he shows them all the things that cannot be written down now. This is in chapter 158. He says, he takes them into the space of oneness with God. He reveals the Book of Life, the roles of Raphael, the Book of God's Remembrance, and it told them secrets that he could not speak in words. And he said, none of this can be written down, and the courts were in silence for a few hours. So listen, he's taken them to the height of heights of spirit, and the very next thing he teaches, pay attention. He says, I have parables for you. And he tells a parable, because he's telling them, teach people this. This is what I want you to teach people. Here's your parable. A man went to a distant land and left his house and his wealth with his care of his servants. They were guarding it, and they were supposed to take care of it. Well, they got a little tired because he hadn't come back yet, and they grew careless in their work, and they spent time in revelings and drunkenness, and some slept at their posts. And, of course, the robbers came and took everything away. And they said, when the master came back, we cannot be blamed. If we had known the day or hour when our Lord would come again, we would have guarded his wealth and not let the thieves come in. Surely, he surely is at fault because he told us not. This is after he tells them the secrets of all mankind. What is he saying? We think humanly we've interpreted that like we have to behave, we have to be ready for the Christ to come, we have to manage our lives, blah, blah, blah. He is saying you have to manage your energy. What do you think makes you get loosey-goosey with watching the storehouse? A serving of self. And what is a serving of self but allowing the ego to dominate? The ego sense is how you navigate in the outer world. Now, when we were children, did we not wait for parents to leave? Mine never left, so I waited for the neighbor's parents to leave. So we could get our little egos going and go in there and tap whatever till they had and party down. There was always a big party, right? Think of that irresponsible. You're not thinking about responsibility. Think of that all about the ya-ya, the hoopla, the party. Think of that intentioning that you had. Think of that. And imagine you're doing that with your spiritual life. Imagine Jesus has just showed you the depth of God's love for mankind. And you go, good to know. Partying today. Good to know. But yet we do that, don't we? We allow our sense of ego self-awareness to dominate the spirit. Then there was one more. I love it. If I would have known. You know, a lot of people will say that when they're getting older about metaphysics. If I only knew now what I knew then, what I know now, I would have done something so differently. Would ya? Would ya? Maybe you needed to learn all those lessons. Maybe that's the reality you needed to walk through. But you know now. Now you choose. You know now. That's when you choose. Okay. He tells them the parable that is really famous that everybody knows. Christendom uses this for condemnation. We do not. It is the parable of the goats and the sheep. Right? It's the parable he says, you know, at the last day when everybody's getting judged, the judge is going to say, goats to the left and sheeps to the right. And the bad guys, you guys got to go pay for what you done. And the good guys, come into heaven, this is your reward. How many have heard the parable? Okay. How many have heard it interpreted that way, that you don't want to be a goat on judgment day? So get your act together. Okay. It is a parable that means a goat is someone who lived their life full of self. Because he says, you're selfish. You didn't help me. You didn't help anybody. You live for you. And I'm not saying give your life away. Follow what I'm saying. The goat was full of self. You serve not your fellow man. And then he says to the sheepers, you were hungry and you gave me bread. I was naked, and you gave me clothes. I was sick, and you ministered unto me, and you welcomed me. Come into my kingdom. And this is what he was saying. This is from spirit. He's talking about your own spirit. When you were hungry for spirit, and your spirit was hungry to be expressed, you said yes. And you let your spirit come through, and you let your spirit be a part of you. Instead of no, shut up. How many of you do that still to your guidance? Oh, I'm getting guidance. No. Shush. I see nobody saying they do that, but there are people squirming a little bit. So we still do that. We still pause. I was hungry and you gave me bread. My spirit needed to speak through me and you let me. I was naked and you brought me clothes. You gave me an identity. My spirit got to come through this life and have an identity in this world. I am a spiritual being. Do you hear what I'm saying? My spirit got to have an identity. And the last one was, I was sick and you ministered and you welcomed me. You allowed the totality of my light to shine through you. Now, when we think of that, think of the goats as the ego. It's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. And I can see you guys' energy. I don't think you guys live that way. But I think we all have moments when we're tired and we go, all about me right now. Realize that it's okay to be about you, but double check with your spirit. Is it time for you to spiritually be about you? Because Jesus left a lot. I got to be about the Father's business. I got to go be away. I can't be about you guys. I need to take care of myself. He's trying to help us understand the ego perception of life will never bring you to love, and it will never allow your spirit to shine through. The ego perception of life. Are you guys getting that? All right. They reminded me of something that I went through, and so I will share it with you. It's just, you know, they remind me of these things out of the blue. It was 100 years ago, but I want to share. I was probably 17, and I had been working in a fast food restaurant for over a year, and I was really one of the lead people. I would close it at night, you know, and blah, blah. And I'm 17, I got the keys. And I had seen during that year and a half about 5 managers come and go. Come and go, come and go. And I've always told everybody I was fired from my first job, man. I was fired from my first job. So this is my first job. So the new manager had been there about a month or so, and we were having a big inspection, a huge inspection from people coming from out of town. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm looking good. Everything's pristine. I mean, that shop was pristine, guys. Not like it is today in any fast food. It was clean. We kept that sucker clean. I worked front. I worked back. I worked all the lines. I saw he had put a clipboard out. It was early in the morning. The guys hadn't arrived yet. And I was like, what is that clipboard? And I picked it up, and it was a review of me and all the frontline girls. I went, Excuse me. What is this? I've never been reviewed before. He goes, yeah. I had to do that. And I went, but wait, you said I'm bad on that. And he goes, well, you always do it. And I said, that's how I was taught to do it. You've never corrected me. He goes, well, just, and I went, wait, there's something else. Why would you do that? Why would you review us before the day even started? And he was livid, and he yelled at me, and he said, if you don't like it, hit the clock and hit the door. And I did. And my story has always been I was fired. But was I fired? I didn't like it. But what Spirit showed me was this. I'm 17. This is the first job I've had. I do right by people. The people that I worked, I would boss people around when I was in charge. I did right by them. I did right by everybody. And so my perception of what was right from the eyes of a 17-year-old did not take into any consideration. He's a new manager, doesn't know what he's doing, and the big boss is coming down. I had no perception of him, and he had no perception of how to handle me. All he had to say to me was, girl, can we address this later? I'll explain it to you after the shift. Let's get us on. I would have gone, okay, no problem. But we had two egos clashing at such different levels. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so Spirit showed me that this morning. This morning they showed me that and said, tell them the story. So I could see and forgive myself for judging him all these years. Been a long time. I had no mercy on him. And he didn't last long. They fired him within a few months. But I never went back. I never went back because I was offended. I was fired. No, you don't do that to me. So, but do you see in this moment, they said your ego could not have mercy and could not see his ego, who could not have mercy and could not see. And so I was able to pull it up and send him forgiving love and send my younger self forgiving love. But do you see how our egos validating our rightness, validating our uniqueness, validating that I'm good to everybody, we can not yield when we need to yield. And if I had been my sweet spiritual self, which I cried all the way home, I walked home a couple of miles, and I cried the whole way, but I never went back. I was not. But do you hear? I had my spiritual nature. I was very sensitive. But I wasn't ready, mature enough to see. And us, as metaphysical Christians, where we are today, we need to be neither of those two people. We need to be, yes, my natural instinct is, but then we need to rise up and see the Spirit. Is he my brother man? He's still child of God. He's still my family. He's still one with God. I'm one with God. Rise up and find harmony. Harmony. Now, it happened beautifully. Everything was perfect with my life from that point forward. So everything had to happen the way it happened. But I have held on to that angst for many years. So Jesus says this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love of oneself is important, but it does not mean selfishness. It means kindness to yourself because you are God's child. Do not give yourself more attention than you need, but take care of yourself and do not continually slay the God within you. Give opportunities in your daily life for the Christ within you to manifest. And this is what we mean by loving yourself. And if you do that, then you can love your neighbor as yourself. If I could love myself and say that doesn't matter, I could have loved him as my neighbor. Did you see me? Okay. All right. So I just have two real quick things to read you. I want you to hear these words because it's important. Because as metaphysical Christians and as Christians of any religion, is our goal not to love God? Our goal is to love God. This is what it says. Even if your only love were God, everyone else would fall so short in your mind that you would judge them. What he's saying is this. Her question was, why do we seek love from one another? Bottom line. If we only love God and we do not love the God in each other, are we really loving God? No. That is what our journey on this life is to be, to love ourselves first, love the God in each other, and then love the God in all the world around us. Does that make sense? So to be holy and go on the mountaintop and meditate all day long and still not love your fellow man, you're going to come back because we have to love the fellow man as well. Okay? And the other thing that I wanted to read to you, in the trenches, that's our lives, love is knowing that your very presence makes a difference. In life, love is knowing that your presence makes a difference. How valuable is that? All right, I will leave you with this. I was telling Patrick this morning, you know, if I died, well, I will, but if I died tomorrow, I know that I will be great and I will go over and I will say, I tried. Dang it, I tried. And someone may say, were you angry? Yes, I was angry. Yes, I got mad at people. Yes, I did. Because my little self had an expectation of their self. Was I wrong? Yes, I was. Yes, I was. Because I should allow people the freedom to do what they need to do. And if I need something else, so you've agreed to do it, I expect you to do it, you don't do it, you move aside, find someone who will do it, not stop and get mad. But humans? And then Spirit said to me, does the fish yell at the rock that's in its way? No. It swims around it. Okay. Love is the deepest thing we can understand. It's all around us. It's in us. It's the thing we want more than anything else in the world. And it's who we are. How complicated are we? Let's go within. Just take a breath and feel that beautiful love of God pouring through you. Father, Mother God, I ask that a beautiful light just engulf us all, and that each one has a beautiful column of light over them. And just imagine your column of light. Just see the color around you. And breathe in the nurturing energy of that light for you. For you are safe in the heart of God. You are loved. Feel Jesus Christ by your side and just lift up a little bit. And just ask, how can I share my love with the world better? And you may not even see anything or get any words. Just ask. The universe will answer at the appropriate time. And now the bigger question. God, how can I love myself better? And again, just bring in the energy. If you hear something, great. If you don't, great. You will know it when you see it. It is love. You will know it when you see it. Take a breath and just send your love to God. We send you our love. We love you so. Send your love to Jesus Christ for always being by your side. We love you so. Now I want you to send your love to everyone in your world. Everyone who is playing with you, even those on the periphery, just send your love. I behold the Christ in you. I know you are a child of God. Breathe. Allow your awareness to come back to your chair, the feet on the floor. But before you open your eyes, feel your heart center. Love starts with you. I love myself. Thank you, God. Take a breath. When you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. Well, I hope you heard what you needed for your life. Something that would be of help, benefit to you. Again, to understand love is a journey of eternity for us in this dimension. So be gentle with yourself. Love each other. And then just tell yourself you did good. Say, yay, God.